Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Big, life-changing, celebratory, transformational moments. Ever had any of those? Big moments after which life was not the same after that. For some of us, that's marriage. Some of that's having a child. All kinds of times in life where we're a little like overwhelmed, bowled over, didn't know that there would be the big emotional impact that there would be. And after that, after we marked that time, we were never the same again. That can also be the case in society, where society has these moments where they're landmark moments, they're pivot points in history, and we're never the same again. Sometimes there are moments where social justice has prevailed, and we weren't expecting that. We're excited about that. Sometimes it's just a time to celebrate. I was thinking about some celebratory transformational moments this week. One I was thinking about was 1980. This was a sports event. The U.S. faced off with the Russians in hockey. The Cold War between the U.S. and Russia was very intense at this time. And so this match was sort of an international competition and sort of a match for bragging rights, if you will, except the U.S. was the underdog. Russia had this stellar hockey team that was just a machine and would just kind of run over everybody in the competition and in the Olympics. No one expected the U.S. to win. And 2 weeks before the Olympics happened, Russia actually trounced the U.S. and beat the U.S. 10-3. But in the Olympic game, in the first period, the game was tied 2-2. Nobody expected the U.S. would score, 2-2 in the first period, that the score would be that by the end of the first period. And then by the second period, the Russians had started to pull away. The score was 3-2, and everybody probably thought, scoring the two goals early in the game by the U.S., that was kind of a fluke. The Russians are going to start pulling away. It's going to be another blowout. And then the U.S. tied the game. And then they actually pulled ahead. And in the last 10 seconds, you can find this online, announcer Al Michaels, who's still around announcing, gave a call, "Do you believe in miracles?" And he answered his own question, "Yes." And the buzzer rang, and everybody went wild. It was, for the U.S., this sense of something that we do about trying to make the world a bit more of a democratic place. Something about that has prevailed here, too, where it wasn't expected to. I was thinking about another moment. Several years later, 1989, November 10th, the Berlin Wall began to crumble. For decades, a wall separated East and West Berlin, the worlds of democracy and communism. People trying to leave East Germany, trying to climb the wall to get to the West, to escape, would be shot. And then in 1989, there was a whirlwind of change, and there was a softening in Russia and in East Germany, and they began to not enforce this anymore, and people started climbing over the walls. And nobody stopped them for the first time in decades. Nobody tried to harm them for the first time in decades. And parties broke out. And people began climbing over and dancing and celebrating because they could make a choice as to where they wanted to live. Nobody with a gun could tell them, "You can't go to the other side of the city." That was another watershed moment in Western civilization. Well, the first Christmas was a celebratory transformational moment. Maybe not for everybody at first. It started with just a few, as I think all transformational moments do. You think about chaos theory, the idea that there's a butterfly flapping its wings somewhere that could eventually start a chain of events that would lead to a hurricane. That's the sense in which Christmas Eve was transformational and celebratory. It started with a little, and we're here today because the celebration has spread. But this was an immediate and mind-blowing moment, Christmas Eve, and it changed reality suddenly and decisively for some shepherds. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke tells us in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Terrified, can you imagine? They were terrified. It wasn't like, ooh, look at the pretty angels. They have little flappy wings. Apparently whatever was going on up there was not like a Hallmark moment. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy, and it's for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among all those that he favors. Now, this is an incredible event, but it's also an incredibly strange event. Contrary to popular belief, people back then did not stand around in flowing robes speaking King James English to each other. These are hardworking, tough guys out in the field doing dangerous work, keeping their animals safe from predators and thieves who would steal them, and they're working the third shift. It's not an easy job. They're not expecting to see angels in the sky rejoicing. Moreover, not only was it odd to see angels in the sky rejoicing, but the message is strange. It said, you'll find in the city of David a Savior. Well, that's a lead-in. Because David, with the great King David, was the king who presided over the golden age, if you will, of the kingdom of Israel. It never got to that former glory. So they're invoking David. And then they're saying this is going to be a Messiah. Who's the Messiah? The Messiah is the liberator, the one who will free them from oppression, who will free them from foreign dictators. At this time, that would have been the Romans. And then they said, you'll find him lying in a place where horses and other animals eat. Okay. Okay, we'll find him lying in a manger. That's where animals eat. Okay, so this is a very unusual message at a number of levels. And consider, too, what the shepherds are not. They are not religious scholars. They are not priests. They are not rabbis. We don't know if they go to synagogue or if they go to temple. As far as we know, no angels appear to any of those religious elites, but they do appear to the shepherds. And this is very common of early Christianity. We learn that something has happened, is happening, that is different, it is new, it is turning the tables on our expectations, and it is for everyone. It is for everyone. The angels say, this is for all the people. And this trajectory of including everyone, it continues on into the New Testament in a very, very radical way, where Jews who had been brought up to follow very strict laws and who did not commingle with non-Jews except in certain circumstances, certainly never with regard to spirituality, they will be later on commanded to let those walls drop. They will be commanded to interact with anyone who belongs to Christ, regardless of social status, regardless of gender, race, even if they're slaves. This is incredibly radical. And there are ongoing skirmishes and arguments in the New Testament if you read between the lines, because this trajectory, which I think is set at the moment the angels appear to the shepherds, it blows everybody's mind. And nobody's expecting it they don't know what to do with it. All are welcome to the celebration of what God has done in Christ. I'm going to invite Braden to cue up a clip here. What could that look like today? Well, it could look like a lot of things in a lot of different places, and this might not be the most demonstrative example. However, I will note, some people will say that Sunday morning is still the most segregated hour in America. That hour on Sunday where we worship is still the most segregated hour in America. And moreover, we all have different traditions. You know, we Presbyterians sort of have a tradition. There are Episcopalians who have traditions. Methodists have traditions. I think the non-denominational folks would like to say, well, we don't have traditions, except now you do, because you're all sort of doing the same thing and singing the same worship songs. So, yes, you do. So there were a group of people that came together from different kinds of Catholic, non-denominational, Presbyterian, all kinds of denominations, and from different walks of life to pray and sing and write music together. It's called the Porter's Gate Project. I'm going to let them talk about it just as a contemporary example of how people can come together and do wonderful things and be the church together. Let's watch a few minutes of this. You get the idea. We hope to do some of those songs in the next year. We're going to try to work some of those in. I've sent one the direction of the youth band, and we'll see what transpires. But it's just a way of illustrating that the butterfly wings, if you will, that flapped with the inclusion of the shepherds on Christmas Eve has morphed into something much bigger, a trajectory of inclusion for everyone across racial lines, gender lines, breaking down barriers in society. So this is something that makes Christmas Eve pretty amazing, celebratory, and transformational. We are all invited. We are all invited. And in addition, heaven and earth are in sync. Heaven and earth are in sync. The birth of Christ was one of those beautiful moments when the veil between heaven and earth and lifted. And that's why the shepherds were terrified. They'd never seen anything so awesome, something that struck awe into the depths of their hearts. The shepherds are now not looking just at the sky. They are peering into and seeking and seeing a deeper reality. They are seeing and hearing heavenly beings, and that is not nothing. Often in this world, it is easy for us to feel alone and isolated. This was a moment where that was not the case at all. There was the consolation of another realm all around them. The consolation of another realm all around them because heaven and earth were in sync. This thought takes us to the brink of some great mysteries that we hear stories about, that we can't necessarily explain and yet can bring comfort to us. A sermon by a man named Bob Russell recounts a story about the sudden passing of a gospel pianist who was giving a concert on a cruise. The story goes like this from Mr. Russell's sermon. Anthony Berger died at age 44. Many feel that he was the finest gospel pianist that ever lived. 1,500 people were on the cruise. They vacationed during the day. They'd come to a gospel concert at the ship's theater at night. The fourth night out, Anthony Berger had just played a piano solo, and about 5 minutes later during the concert, he collapsed of a massive heart attack. He died instantly at the piano. Everybody, especially his family, was completely distraught. He relates Becky Pippert of our church was the guest Bible study teacher on that cruise, and she was to address the people the next morning in a Bible study. Becky said that before she got up to teach, a woman came up and said to her, "Becky, I just want to tell you what happened to me last night. Just before Anthony Berger died, in the solo last night, after he played his solo, the spotlight went to the other side of the stage, but for some reason, I kept my eyes on Anthony. I felt like God was impressing these words in me. I'm going to show you something from my realm that will be an encouragement to people." She said, "I was troubled, and suddenly I saw standing behind Anthony an angel." She said, "He just stood there for about 30 seconds. He put his hand on Anthony's shoulder. Anthony looked up and then slumped down and passed away." What a powerful story. It's sad in its momentary conclusion, and yet it's celebratory in the sense that heaven and earth were in sync when it was somebody's time to go. As you look toward Christmas, what are your reasons to celebrate? You may be having one of those years where you're thinking, not much. In our own family, we're experiencing the passing away of relatives and a severe illness of relatives on both sides of the family. And from the standpoint of circumstances, it doesn't feel celebratory. And you may be in a similar situation. The circumstances are like, I don't feel like celebrating. And yet, the truth of Christmas is that God is doing something wonderful and transformational. And whoever you are, wherever you are included in that. You are a part of what God is doing now, today. And we may not understand what's going on between heaven and earth, but whatever is going on between heaven and earth, you are part of it. And it is surrounding you, whether you know it or not. You know, one Christmas after the next, just celebrated as a holiday, can get repetitive. And yet, the opportunity is to remember that Christmas is more than presents and errands and cookies. Christmas is that miracle that was totally unexpected, completely transformational. In whatever setting you find yourself this Christmas, expected or unexpected, are you open to some measure of celebration? And are you open to this season of Christmas, the event of Christmas, transforming you? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that this great, wonderful storm of celebration and love that we call Christmas started with a revelation to some shepherds working the third shift in a field. Not religious elites, not necessarily educated at all. Most people were not back then, so since they weren't elites, they probably weren't. And yet, you were the ones that you trusted with the message. You started the storm of joy with them. Maybe if that's the case, then that joy could begin with us this holiday season. We don't have to have it all together. Our lives don't have to look perfect. The circumstances don't have to be easy or even happy. You break into our lives wherever we are and whatever we're doing, whatever we are experiencing, with celebration and joy. So whatever our path right now, we open our lives to you. We ask that your Holy Spirit bring us celebration and joy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Hallelujah. Amen.